China's Didi ride-hailing service responds to the murder of another passenger, and why private shareholders are being replaced in Britain. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. First, Kenya's leader Uhuru Kenyatta meets President Trump in Washington later today. The visit comes as Africa tries to forge a continent-wide free trade agreement, and with China as its biggest investor, pumping $66 billion into African economies annually. Larry Madowo is the BBC's Africa Business Editor.
For President Kenyatta, going to America just months before Kenya begins direct flights to New York in October is very important to try and tap into that U.S. market for tourists. The U.S. is the largest source of tourists to Kenya for the last 2 years. They're also looking for a lot of infrastructure projects. $4.5 billion is one major highway from the port city to Nairobi. And so all of those are very important going into this meeting.
Usually President Trump and Africa are in the headlines for negative reasons. What kind of impact has that had?
This is an interesting thing for President Trump to do. Only the second African leader he's meeting, President Kenyatta. Before that was the Nigerian leader. There's some skepticism around Trump's approach to Africa and his attitude. But it's important to see that the First Lady Melania Trump is coming to Africa on a solo trip in October. President Trump has not done so yet. And even only recently, about 2 months ago, did President Trump appoint his top diplomat in Africa. So maybe he's not starting to warm up to Africa now.
We've also got the British Prime Minister headed to Africa, and that's also about trade.
The British Prime Minister is coming to Kenya, to Nigeria, and to South Africa. She's coming to talk about trade after Brexit. For a lot of these countries, we've not negotiated with the UK really for over 40 years. And China is the big player in this continent. So they have to balance all of those things.
Larry Madowo. Let's do the numbers. London is closed for a public holiday, but markets in Europe and China are broadly higher. Trading in Turkey resumed after a week-long holiday. The lira is down more than 2% against the US dollar as the dispute over the detention of an American pastor continues. And President Erdogan repeats calls for citizens to, quote, defend their currency. Now, Didi Chuxing is the world's largest ride-hailing company, but the Chinese firm has suspended its service following a second passenger murder this year. The BBC's Christine Ha has more.
The company has taken full responsibility in a statement. It has also fired the head and vice president of its carpooling, Didi Hitch Service. But the backlash this time is much, much more severe. Now, Chinese social media has been merciless, with celebrities publicly deleting their Didi apps. Official media Xinhua has called for legal action against Didi. And China's transport ministry has said in a statement that Didi should stop making what it called empty promises and take concrete steps to ensure customer safety. So all this harsh rhetoric is worrying because there can be signs of a company falling out of favor with the authorities in China. Now, Didi is currently the world's biggest ride-hailing service by the number of trips they serve per day. And they have been expanding overseas quite assertively in recent years. So the worry is, if Didi isn't able to respond to this issue adequately at home, then its expansion overseas and its growth plans may hit a speed bump as well.
Christine Ha. Meanwhile, Uber says it plans to focus more on its electric scooter and bike business, even though that may mean a financial hit in the short term. CEO Dara Khosrowshahi told the Financial Times newspaper that individual modes of transport are better suited to inner city travel. The ride-sharing firm has invested in a number of bike firms in the last year, including Jump in the US, which is soon launching in Britain. Now, in Britain, the proportion of private investors holding shares has come down to 12%, while overseas investors have increased to more than 50%. This can have consequences for corporate governance, as the BBC's Frey Lindsay has been finding out.
This is the sound of an unexpected guest at the 1996 British Gas Annual General Meeting.
You've earned the wage bill. Don't left for workers.
Cedric the Pig was brought in by British Gas shareholders and the GMB union to protest then British Gas chief executive Cedric Brown's attempts to increase his own pay package. But while companies nowadays often see protesters outside their meetings, pressure from within, the shareholders, is in decline. Private shareholders seem like a reasonable way to hold corporate avarice in check, as they tend to have a more lasting attachment to the local economies and environments in which they invest. And yet, very few shareholders turn up to meetings. The problem is largely due to technology. Back in the old days, you used to have paper certificate as proof of ownership. Nowadays, many people have their portfolios online, in what are known as nominee accounts. But a loophole in the law makes these nominee accounts the legal shareholders and not the end user. This has important consequences, as companies are obliged under law to provide information and voting access to their shareholders, but the nominee companies aren't obliged to pass those rights on to their clients, the real shareholders.
It's our contention that actually that the beneficial shareholder should be the legal shareholder.
This is Peter Parry. He's a private shareholder and a member of the UK Shareholders Association. He's part of a campaign trying to give shareholders back their rights. Many companies are on the fence because the current system means they have fewer people they have to please.
As of today, shareholders cannot vote outside their own country.
This is Christiane Hertz, a lawyer and regional manager for the German Shareholders Association.
The EU has recently issued a new legislation which exactly tackles this problem by forcing intermediaries to proceed all the information between issuers and investors.
So that's good news for EU shareholders, but it puts UK shareholders in a difficult position as the country gets ready to leave the EU.
Frey Lindsay reporting. Finally, a new study of the weight loss drug lorcaserin suggests it's safe for the heart. The drug is making global headlines today, with some calling it the holy grail for obesity. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.